welcome back. And yeah, it was a pleasure being able to talk to Andy Herron. And shout out to him. Also, shout out to the guys over at the Strikers as they get their NASL season started in the next couple of days. So best of luck to them. Guys, we got to move on with CONCACAF for the time being, as, of course, many eyes, at least stateside, are focused on U.S. and Costa Rica, but actually the team and the matchup that everybody's looking at within CONCACAF is, of course, in San Pedro Sula when Honduras again hosts Mexico.
Yeah, that's a big game. Mexico, disappointing nil-nil draw at the Azteca against Jamaica. So they have to bounce back. I read that, and Tom, you have to verify this for me, but I read Oribe Peralta is out for that game.
Oribe Peralta's out. Obviously it's down in Honduras. Everyone knows it's going to be 38 degrees. They're playing in the afternoon. The humidity. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's any secret how difficult it is these days to go down to Honduras. Oribe Peralta's out. He's called in Gerardo Torrado, 33-year-old central midfielder, which, he's called in Johnny Magallon again, as a recall, and he's called in Omar Bravo. So he's really gone for kind of experienced heads in his squad, as Chepo. So I think they know very well that it's a real tough game. Mexico have lost the last three games down in Honduras. So, and off the back of that Jamaica 0-0, a defeat on Friday, and things suddenly don't look so good for Mexico heading into that U.S. game on Tuesday.
And you know what? It's something, because that's another subplot within this whole U.S. thing. I think it was Taylor Drummond that came out the other day and said, well, if the U.S. are able to win, then that takes a great deal of pressure off. But now, if the U.S. lose or don't get the 3 points, then all of a sudden it's a pressure cooker. But it also depends on the pressure cooker that's on the other end with Mexico, because, and Tom, more than any of us being over there in Guadalajara, that as soon as things start going on a downturn for not just Chepo de la Torre, but every single coach in at the Mexican national team level, the press really starts really getting on top of you and really starts getting on you in a big way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we were mentioning it in the first part of the show there, that story that came out on Sporting News about, Klinsmann and players saying not the nicest things about him. I mean, and I think Hercules Gomez from the U.S. squad came out and said, this is, I think his word was teddy bear stuff or something like that. It was like, compared to what goes on in Mexico, I mean, the scrutiny that goes on with the Mexican national team and the Mexican press is just unbelievable. I mean, it's...
But George and I have always said it. The U.S. national team's probably still, despite all the criticism Klinsmann's getting, it's probably one of the cushiest national team jobs around, because you really don't have that much pressure.
Right.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, for the money Klinsmann's getting as well, you wouldn't turn it down, would you?
Of course. Oh, yeah. So, it's just ridiculous, to a certain extent, Hercules Gomez is absolutely right. Klinsmann's not getting that much pressure, although there are some naysayers, some detractors within the U.S. soccer media, but very few and far between that are willing to express their opinions about Klinsmann in a public manner.
Yeah.
That, this is actually, for many people, at least I consider myself in that group, at least this is something groundbreaking.
No, yeah, I think it is, and I think it is healthy that people, from an outsider's point of view, I mean, it's really not healthy. I mean, to be in that squad, like Andy was saying in the first part of the show, it's never good to have a split dressing room, and you imagine it's not the best atmosphere going on in the US now. I think this is why Friday's, obviously Tuesday's the big one for CONCACAF, the big one for Mexico, the big one for US fans in terms of the big rivalry between US and Mexico. But I mean, the way I see it is that so much about that game, and now the importance and the kind of the psychological aspect of that game on Tuesday will depend on what happens on Friday. I mean, right. US lose or draw, Mexico get a win in Honduras, and then all of a sudden, Mexico, that mentality is going to be right. We're going to kind of, you know, not the final nail in the coffin, but, you know, kind of another nail in the U.S. coffin, if you know what I mean, in terms of qualifying.
It's gonna be tough to get out of that coffin per se after you know that. But let me ask you. And I'm gonna throw this back at you, Tom. Nobody in CONCACAF is really playing just mind-blowing football right now. Nobody's really head and shoulders. I'm talking about in recent performance. If you go long-term, of course, Mexico's just eons ahead of everybody else. But as far as 2013, seeing how the national teams are playing, there's really no one national team you can say, wow, this team is just head and shoulders above the rest.
Well, no, I agree. I think it goes, like, kind of in the press, there's this kind of mentality that Mexico are by far superior, that, you know, they're just on this obvious drive to domination and to kind of make that next step up on the world level as well. But, I mean, if you look at it, I think the Brazil game last year, Mexico played really well. I think they scored one first half goal in like the last eight games or something. I mean, they have really struggled as well. And I think a lot of people as well have that 2011 Gold Cup final where, you know, Giovanni, Guardado, Barrera, and Chicharito kind of just ran rings around the US for the majority of that game. And I think that game has kind of stuck in a lot of people's minds as to, oh, that's how Mexico play, you know what I mean? Then the reality of it is, you know, I think Chepo, the Mexico coach, has found it difficult to kind of recreate that formula. I mean, he's been playing with the formation, playing with the tactics a bit, and, you know, I honestly think he's not there yet. There's still a way to go. Don't want to go on too long, but I think the other thing is, and I think this game against Honduras, I think Mexico in a lot of ways suit a kind of more counter-attacking style. I just think the players they've got are so fluid, they're so fast, and versatile as well. They can move around the pitch well. So I think that these games against Honduras away might just suit Mexico. I mean, they've already gone to El Salvador and won. They've already gone to Costa Rica and won in the last year. So I don't know. It's just something to throw out there. But whereas you get teams that come to the Azteca and park the bus, you know, if they've lost against the US, they've drawn against Jamaica. I mean. Yeah. They found it difficult.
Mm-hmm. Is it getting to the point where Mexico, because of their recent success, you mentioned the Gold Cup, obviously the gold medal, is it getting to the point where they are playing better away from Azteca because of all the pressure at home? Is that strange to say? Is that kind of true? What's your take on that? Because you mentioned the last results, you know, the draw against Jamaica, and then they finally, the U.S. finally beat them in the friendly at Azteca. So, you know, they haven't won their last two games at Azteca. That's unusual for Mexico. Is that the issue, that they play better on the road now because of all the success has put pressure on them at home?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously, I think they've always had pressure in the Azteca. I mean, the fans just absolutely demand that they always win.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you know, so I don't think it's a factor so far. What I would say is that, going back to that point that I made about if they don't get if they lose against Honduras, then there will be real pressure on Tuesday against the US, you know what I mean? And I think then it will be a real factor. But I think the main reason for Mexico's, like, kind of dodgy home form has been, you know, I think to a certain degree teams have worked out how to play against them in terms of park the bus, defend, and make sure you've got some kind of threat on the break, which Jamaica did. And let's be honest about it, Jamaica could have won that game quite easily. And I think the US did the same. You just got to sit back, defend, soak up the pressure, and wait for the crowd, who were quite fickle, to, you know, to turn against the home team like they did against Jamaica.
Is it also a case, I mean, going back to that US-Mexico game at the Coloso back in, last year, could it also be that they really got relaxed and really started believing what was being said about them, how good they were, how superior they were to everyone else? Because if you start looking at that match again, you start seeing the body language. To me, at least, it looked like, okay, they're just going through the motions. It's only a friendly. Big deal. So what? And it wasn't until they fell behind late in the match that they said, okay, now we got to get it. And by the time they put everything in gear, you haven't seen a Mexico side that really was able to get it done, especially in those last few minutes. And it's been tough to see Mexico really kick it in gear since the beginning in any recent match. It's been like that for a few matches, and really see them start out slow, a bit lethargic. They might have a couple of spurts here and there, but they really don't. I don't see them really being consistent throughout 90 minutes. Could that be a bit of complacency? Could it also be a bit of just overconfidence even?
I mean, it's obviously difficult to know. I want to say no, because I mean, Chepo de la Torre is known for being like really kind of down to earth, kind of like, you know, it's all about working hard, it's all about deserving your chance, and it's all about kind of representing the country at like 110% every time you put on that shirt. And I think he's really kind of, he does really drive that into the players. I'd more than that, what I'd point out, I think it's kind of tactics-wise, I mean, he's played since that US defeat, like with two guys up front, Oribe Peralta mainly and Chicharito. And I just don't think that has worked out for whatever reason. I mean, maybe one day it will, but that's not seemed to have worked out. In central midfield partnerships have just not been consistent, and you know, I think those kind of factors as well have really kind of added to that. They haven't played that game that you know that the Mexican team is capable of with all the talent that they have, you know, especially going forward.
Who's the one player for Mexico that the public have been wanting to see play for the national team that hasn't gotten too many opportunities, or that yourself, who knows the game, you would like to see get more opportunities that could make a difference? They didn't get called up, but that could have made a difference for the upcoming matches against Honduras and the United States for Mexico.
No, I mean, I think the obvious one, Carlos Vela. I mean, over there at Real Sociedad, he's the former Mexican player anywhere in the world, and is, you know, you could have a debate that he is the best Mexican player. You know, you really could. I mean, I think he would make a big difference. He's, you know, he's impacting big games in what's arguably the best league in the world. You know, I mean, Mexico missing, there's no denying it. There's that problem between the Federation and Vela. He got banned for 6 months after that Colombia game, I think at the back end of 2011.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For this party that he had in a hotel. But I mean, Vela's the man. I mean, you know, Giovanni and Vela were like best friends, you know, grown up together, they play well together, they know each other inside out, you know. Put Chicharito in the mix, you know, put Guardado in the mix, and, you know, that's a genuinely, you know, Chicharito, Vela, Giovanni, and Guardado. I mean, that's quite frightening, for any team to face.
Yeah. And they're still young, too, so they have a lot of time to even grow more and have more of a connection and make Mexico more dangerous. So, yeah, that's some drama there between Vela and the Federation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, logic says that they have to sort it out because Mexico need him. There's no doubt about that. He's just a fine player, you know what I mean? There's even talk about him moving on from Sociedad now in the summer. I mean, he's just a quality player. Mexico need him. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
He's probably their most dynamic player right now. I mean,
yeah.
If you start looking at performances abroad, he's probably the most dynamic player right now.
And look at that Jamaica game, 0-0. Throw Vela in there, and, you know, you can never kind of predict what happened, but I think there's a good chance Vela would produce a moment of magic, a pass or an individual goal to open that game up. And those are the type of players that you need, and Mexico not having him is a massive, let's not like kind of play it down, it's a massive disadvantage.
That's true.
That's true.
But, I mean, okay, fine. We know the problems that are going on between Carlos Vela as well as Chepo de la Torre. We also know the problems that are going on from a foreign perspective. That's where the issue lies, at least in my perspective. I really am looking to point a finger at something or see where things are going wrong. But it is a matter of the team at least not clicking right now, and as soon as they do, they will become that dangerous side, at least to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just overlooking it. Maybe there's a chance that you could start seeing them maybe not focus so much on these short-term matches. They know, I mean, to me, Mexico's going to qualify, no doubt about it. But they start getting ahead maybe to Confederations Cup. Maybe start thinking about that here and there. I mean, of course, there's other issues individually that are going to be sidetracking the players as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think another thing, you know, he's talking about the team clicking. I think you're right. I think that's the, you know, he's exactly right. It's not quite clicked recently. I think another, I mean, we've talked a bit about tactics and stuff, but I think another big thing is, you know, we also saw Mexico win the Olympic gold. And, like, we've seen them win the under-17s. Now they're going to, you know, they go to the U20 World Cup as one of the favourites for me. I mean, I really think they're a very, very good U20 team. So we're seeing, like, this generational shift gradually in the team. And, you know, you've got older heads like, you know, Carlos Salcido and Dorado, you know, even Mata Rodriguez. And then it's like, how long, you know, how quickly should this shift, you know, be enforced, do you know what I mean? I mean, we've got, you know, Carlos Peña and Chaton from Chivas. We've got Herrera in the centre of midfield, Zavala. We've got, you know, plenty of, like, younger players, and it's like, how much weight do you give to the experience that someone like Salcido gives? You know, is he dynamic enough, to make the team tick, to really kind of, like, be that holding player within the team? I mean, there's these kind of questions as well that I think Chepo's wrestling with, and, you know, you see him go back and forth, you know. Hector Herrera, I think he's pretty certain to go to Europe in the summer. I mean, you know, what will that do for his chances? You've got Diego Reyes, he's only, I think he's 20, you know what I mean? And he's already, like, captain in America, and, you know, just a very, very good player. He's going to be a really, really good player, you know, after a couple of years in Europe. But, you know, should he be starting? I mean, you can argue it both ways, you know what I mean? But I think that finding that kind of chemistry, that balance, I mean, we saw the chemistry that the Olympic squad has had, you know, and the youth teams have had that have, you know, that have won the World Cup and gone to the third in the U20s since 2011. But, I mean, you know, how quickly do you get them in there? Do you get them in there really quickly and you know that they know each other really well? Or do you do what Chepo's doing, which is kind of very slowly, player by player? I mean, it's difficult. I mean, for me, I'd go with them. I wouldn't bother with the older players. You know, I'd probably keep Salcido and Massa, and that's it. And then, you know, give players a bit of experience playing in Honduras, because if you don't get it this time around, then in 4 years' time, they'll be going back. You know what I mean? And it'll be all new for them. But that's just my opinion on it. It's a difficult one, though.
Yeah, they have to eventually get experience. So why not put them in the experience of World Cup qualifiers? They're young. Playing for Club America, I know it's different than the national team, but still, Club America is such a big club that they've been in pressure situations, you know, with the Superclásico and then playoffs and stuff like that. So it's as good a preparation for Mexican national team play as they can possibly get. So I agree with you. I'm always... The young players that have talent, you don't want to say throw them into the fire, but that's kind of what you're doing when you have them start again in World Cup qualifiers. But that's the only way they really understand it, is by being in there and getting the start and experiencing that pressure. So,
yeah, I agree with you. They'd be in Brazil in Wembley, and in front of a full house in Wembley, in a high pressure game, you know what I mean?
Right.
They've already proved they've got the quality, you know what I mean? And I think that, I think that you've just got confidence that they've also got the personality to go to someone like Honduras. And, you know, I'd find it, you know, more exciting to have players like that, and, you know, seeing how they do, and, like, what's going to, you know, maybe they'll make a couple of mistakes, you know, but maybe they'll do some mad skill that, you know, someone else wouldn't have thought of doing.
Right.
We'll see what happens. I mean, I honestly think that Mexico will right the ship sooner rather than later. They always tend to do that, and they'll be qualified. So I don't think that, you know, Mexican fans should freak out or anything like that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting these next few days, and in CONCACAF. Of course, the final match that we need to cover quickly here is the one at the office between Jamaica and Panama. Two teams that, of course, Jamaica, more both teams coming off draws, but actually the morale booster ends up going on the side of the Reggae Boys as they were able to get the 0-0 draw. They were able to get the point from the Coloso of Santa Ursula. Instead, we see Panama on the other end with a 2-2 draw after being ahead 2-0, absolutely, as Andy said before, demolishing Costa Rica in the first half. Just weren't able to hold it up and ended up getting a draw in their own backyard.
Yeah, well, Panama is still a little, I think they're still stinging a little bit from the disappointment of the Centroamericana. They, you know, they were eliminated in the semifinals, and they were one of the favorites to win it. So I think they were still stinging a little bit. Mm-hmm. And now they have to make the trip to Kingston. And the office, doesn't matter if you're Mexico, United States.
Everybody has a hard time there.
Everybody has a hard time. I mean, they have been very successful. And you mentioned you get the draw at the Azteca, then you come back to your own fortress. It wouldn't surprise me if Jamaica get the 3 points. The Reggae Boys, they're looking strong. They are definitely representing the Caribbean very well.
That's absolutely true. And Theo Whitmore going in, and he's been able to really change that culture. We've seen it, of course, maybe change the culture, and it got into a very negative manner because them not qualifying out of the Caribbean into the Gold Cup was just absolutely incredible. Many were even calling for Theo Whitmore's head after that, but of course, calmer heads prevailed. And it's going to be interesting because Jamaica know that This is their World Cup, literally and figuratively, I'm trying to say here. And they're going to have to do their best in order to get back since 1998, because you do see these players, you do see a new generation of players starting to be used by Theo Whitmore. And to me, that's going to be the difference makers, getting those players that are hungry back into the mix.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the players, they got some young players in the squad when you look at the roster. So They have talent. I mean, especially you look at a guy like Darren Maddox of Vancouver, a young guy. What was he? Wasn't he a number one overall pick a couple of years ago? I can't remember.
He was up there, yeah.
Yeah, up there. Top five pick in the MLS Super Draft. You know, guys like Omar Cummings as well, veteran with the Houston Dynamo. They didn't get called up, but there's the depth that they're building. And, of course, Luton Shelton always, he's a very good from free kicks, especially. So, you know, for those of us from the Caribbean, you know, that's our hope. Our hope is that Jamaica can get the 3 points at the office and give themselves 4 points, start unbeaten early in World Cup qualifying in the sexagonal. You get those early points, they really help out.
You could see Jamaica pretty much in one of the top spots in CONCACAF by the end of next week. I mean, who knows how things end up being. That's something really to take note in. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it definitely put a bit of frighteners on some of the bigger names in the region as well, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no doubt about that. That is for sure. Guys, again, Panama, real quick. It's running out of time. We went overboard there with Mexico, but no big deal. Panama, of course, looking to get bounced back. And, of course, you do have the names like Tejada. You have Blas Perez. You have the back line with Felipe Baloy and the rest, you know, Harold Cummings, the youngsters coming in and everyone from the Panamanian national team. To me, one of the more technically skilled, they have this great combination of technical skill as well as size and speed that really are able to come in, but they haven't been able to translate it. And one of the things Deli Valdez was saying leading up to this match is saying how he has to try and get all these things meshed together, that there's still a couple of things here and there that are missing, and it was noticed in that Panama Costa Rica match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see how they play, especially Armando Cooper. I was really impressed with Armando Cooper in the 2011 Central American Cup. He didn't get called up for the 2013, but for 2011 Central American Cup, he was one of the players that stood out for me. So I'm interested to see how he has progressed as a player, because he's you mentioned that mix of the talent, the athleticism, and the technical abilities he has then.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought that he had that potential, but obviously being young and sometimes being erratic, that was one of the things that really kind of had me iffy with my opinion. To see him now being able to develop over at Godoy Cruz in Argentina under Martin Palermo, that's going to be something to see with him. I mean, obviously, seeing how he can develop from an attacking standpoint, seeing how he can apply all he's learned within his club team and bring it to the national team mix to be able to make a difference for Los Canaleros.
That's going to be a great game. I mean,
to me, that's a draw as well.
With the Jamaica Panama,
that
wouldn't surprise me.
I wouldn't be surprised if all the matches in this particular match they were all draws. It would not be one bit surprising to anyone. Guys, let's take a break. When we return, got to get back to CONMEBOL as we got lots of stuff going on there, and our show is gonna just be crazy long. So I'll probably split it up into different segments throughout the day, and you know, throw them out there in digestible bits, not in those huge chunk size editions. But let's take a break. We'll be right back to wrap things up and talk CONMEBOL as well. Not necessarily that order, of course.
Cool. All right, boys, I'm gonna.